For those of you who may not be aware, we have just launched a new online magazine at Caskey One that will feature not only these podcasts, but also white papers, case studies, videos, and other interviews, all of which pertain to your sales and leadership success. It's all free to subscribe. Go to Caskey One, that's CaskeyOne.com.
This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Can I talk now?
Hey again, everybody. Last time I talked over the intro, this is, Bill's freaking out, pulling my volume down a little bit. I'll ease it up. This is the Advanced Selling Podcast soundtrack. Welcome to Soundcheck. I'm Brian Neal.
I'm Bill Caskey.
And you're headphoneless.
I am headphoneless, but I can hear you fine, okay?
Because I'm talking so freaking loudly.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's hot in here.
Well, welcome back to the Advanced Selling Podcast.
I'm Brian Neal.
We're getting ready to enter the holiday season.
We are.
In fact, we're in the holiday season.
We are.
And your birthday just passed. Happy
birthday.
It did.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You know which one it was?
40-ish.
Ooh. It was 42.
42, yeah.
Yeah. When
I didn't think you'd sobered up from your 40th.
When my grandma was 42, I was born. I was alive. Isn't that amazing? Because my grandma had my mom when she was 21, and my mom had me when she was 21. Isn't that amazing? My oldest kid's 9. I just can't imagine having a grandkid at this point. Yeah. Amazing. Unbelievable. Isn't that weird? Generational difference? It's very strange.
We've got a guest in the room today.
We do.
In our studio. Say hello, everybody, to Terry Daniel. Hello, Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
We're glad to have Terry Daniel in. Terry is a friend of our firm from way back in the 90s.
Yes,
probably
he is.
Early to mid 90s. And Terry does a lot of, what would you say is the proper way to describe your work? Is it psychotherapy? Okay, coaching, psychotherapy. Yeah.
Psychotherapy works.
Yeah.
Should you tell Terry that listeners can't hear him when he nods? He's going to F-bomb you, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
he's
right
close
away.
Right now.
Yeah.
But we, we talk a lot on this podcast and on all the content that we produce about the inner game and the mental aspects of selling and achievement and comfort zones and money and all those things. And we thought somebody who studies this stuff full time and has a depth of knowledge more than we do about it, it would be good to have you come in and talk a little bit about the role self-image and self-esteem plays in sales and in really in achievement in general.
And I think it's important to note here that Terry is not only a friend of the firm, but I'll go on record for myself in saying that Terry has been my personal coach, as I always say, as a psychotherapist. Not that I needed therapy, I needed coaching, right? We say that to protect ourselves. But he has helped me with my life tremendously, and I wouldn't be sitting here where I am with all the things I have if I had not visited him for years and years and years. And I tell everybody that. And everyone listening, if you don't have someone that you go to chat with and talk to about things, I'd highly recommend that you do.
Yeah. So tell us about the topic, because we talked a little bit about what topic would be good for you. And
First of all, I want to thank you for having me back and inviting me to be here. I appreciate the fact that you guys still think I have something worthwhile
absolutely
to say and to hear. When Bill and I met to talk about my coming today, I mentioned to him that I had run across a quote from Larry Winget. Some of you probably know who he is.
He had a TV show, didn't he, for a while?
He may have.
He
did.
I didn't on financial that. Planning or he did. On some kind of finance.
You had kind of a man crush on him at one point,
I did
didn't
have a
you?
Man crush. He was on a radio show. I
he was.
I interviewed him on the radio
correct.
Show. Correct. Long time ago.
Larry Winget, great guy.
Yeah. So one of his books is a book of daily readings throughout the year called No Time for Tact, which is kind of his thing.
Uh-huh.
Here's the quote, and this will get us into an interesting conversation, I think, about what self-esteem is and what it's not and how it's related to achievement or maybe how it's not.
Okay.
We'll see.
Good.
Here's the quote. As long as you feel good about yourself, you can do anything. Winget says, that's a total lie. You never made one positive change in your whole life when you felt good about yourself. You make positive change in your life when you get uncomfortable with yourself.
Wow.
So Larry Winget likes to be provocative.
Yes.
And he tends to exaggerate in order to be provocative. So when I read this, I thought, well, there's a way in which the statement, as long as you feel good about yourself, you can do anything, is true. And that is to say, if you don't have some fundamental value for your ability to solve problems, to meet challenges, you won't even get into the game, let alone achieve anything. So in that sense, I think it's true, actually, and I disagree with him. Mm-hmm. But as the famous physicist Niels Bohr said many years ago when he was studying the quantum, he said, the opposite of a great truth is another great truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Winget goes on to say is also true, that really important changes we make in our lives occur when we're feeling uncomfortable with ourselves somehow and uncomfortable with the situation. Something is not okay. Maybe even we don't feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something so moving and important about what's going on that we still get into action, even though we don't even have confidence, perhaps, that we know the solution or how it will work out. So that, in that sense, I think he's right, especially when it comes to the big stuff in life, like getting married, like starting a business, like being a salesperson for the first time.
Interesting. And so then, if I'm... So this is very interesting we bring this up, because this is what we see. We see salespeople that perform, even the good ones perform well. The good ones that perform well are typically comfortable to some degree because they're typically making the most money.
Yeah.
They're getting the most recognition along the way. The ones that continue to drive, I have found, this is very interesting, have this sense, and I can think of one particularly that's one. His he's been salesperson of the year at his company for 6 years in a row. And this is a really good company with a lot of salespeople.
Says a lot, because I know you're
years
talking about
in a row.
Yeah.
He is constantly churning inside, nervous and worried that he is not going to get it again and do it again. And I'm wondering if there's, in high achievers, there's some constant level of this that is, this whether it's the self-esteem side that's constantly going, ooh, am I still good enough? Am I really good? Am I, you know, am I good enough at what I'm getting? Is, you know, I'm getting all these accolades. Do I really deserve it? Versus the real high self-esteem person that sort of almost expects it, right? And is that almost a, is it, if I'm listening to this and I'm a salesperson, am I thinking to myself, gosh, I'm the person that, yeah, I feel really comfortable and good about myself, and is that a hindrance to me?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting idea.
And is it necessary for me to have internal churn to grow? Is there another way to grow other than feeling sick to my stomach every night?
Can
I grow just because it's in my nature? Anyway, those are good questions. So you got 10 minutes to answer those.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to answer that question.
And then some.
As you should. Yeah.
Some, yeah. Yeah, I'm the podcast answer man.
You are. This is true.
There's a great story about a tennis player before the time of all of us, actually. His name was Bill Tilden, and he was arguably the greatest tennis player of his time, maybe of the whole 20th century. And he did something very interesting that relates to this question of self-esteem and do I have to have something churning, et cetera. So he was on the tour. He turned pro, and he had a lousy season. Now, most people kind of gut it out, tough it out, hire a coach, do whatever. He quit the tour and spent an entire year redeveloping his game from the ground up, even changing how he swung the racket, everything. And he came back a year later having done this. So he was way outside his comfort zone doing all this, right? He comes back, and he won the U.S. Open at the age of 27, which is pretty old.
It's pretty old.
Yeah, right.
These days.
Absolutely.
But I think he then won it the next 5 years in a row. And
wow.
There were a couple of years when he went undefeated. So something was not okay that put him way outside of feeling comfortable as a pro on the tour, and he responded in a certain way, not exactly out of self-esteem, but more out of a commitment to an idea he had about how the game could be played.
Yeah.
And he wrote a book about it called How to Play Better Tennis, which I happened to read when I was a high school kid.
Oh, really?
Huh.
And that book is all about the beauty of the game and his profound respect for what tennis could be. And so to answer the question about, can it be something other than just an upset or a crisis in your life? Yes. You know, you may have...
But there's got to be a commitment there on your part to either excellence or to improvement or whatever. Because if there's not that, I'm not going to have a reason to change.
Yeah.
And there was in his case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there are really big changes in life, whether it's in business or in culture or in society, occur because somebody has a passion for something.
Yeah.
And the passion can carry them even past low self-esteem issues. I mean, many people don't know that Churchill, for example, who was known as the great orator in World War II, inspiring the British people, he had a speech impediment as a young man. And it took him a long time, a lot of work to get over that. So, yeah, you've got to have the commitment, but the commitment comes, I think, out of the passion.
Yeah, yeah.
And passion will often fuel some kind of a vision of a possibility for my industry or for my life that somehow pulls me powerfully toward it and carries me past my misgivings about myself.
Yeah.
And so, so what's the, if I'm listening to this podcast and I'm a salesperson and assume for a minute I'm good or even great relative to my peers, and I am still after this growth, how do I, and I've got good self-esteem, without creating subconsciously or consciously a crisis in my life, how do I tap into that? What can I do? What strategy, what tactic can I employ to help me create that inner churn that opens that the door to those passions and that drive and whatever that is, to let that come out so that I can move my performance or my life to whatever next event I'm seeking? Question for both of you, and you can discuss, and I'll listen.
Yeah.
It's great when you just ask the hard questions and you sit back and listen. It takes all the pressure off, really.
Yeah. I'm having a thought about that. Bill, do you have a thought about it? Do you want to?
Well, I was thinking about it in a different way. So why don't you take a crack at it? And I've got another question that has to do with bumping up against the ceiling. I assume that, what was his name, Tilden?
Bill Tilden.
Mm-hmm. Bill Tilden probably looked at himself and said, if I keep doing the exact same thing with incremental changes in my game, I can never improve. So it's that glass ceiling that a lot of times we'll go into a company and we'll start to change the way they think. And if people try to hold on to their old thinking and just use our techniques, it's worthless. They have to really break their game down, in a way, reinvent themselves and start over. It doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes some intentional effort.
I think the answer is, well, first of all, Brian, if you are a high achiever, high performer, and you get complacent about that, a crisis will happen.
Interesting.
You know, you'll lose your edge. The joy will go out of it. People will stop buying from you, et cetera. So if you don't want to have the crisis pull you outside your comfort zone and get you into action, what you need to do is keep looking at, where is my creative learning edge? Where is my creative edge? Tilden, after all this time of learning the game all over again, actually he says in his book, so if you're playing a match and you're losing, change strategy. If I was really sure that I had the best game that there was and the best, I wouldn't change strategy.
You just work harder.
Right.
Yeah, I just play it harder. And he gives he tells lots of great stories about, there was a Frenchman who was a groundstroker. His name was René Lacoste.
Lacoste. Alligator man.
And he was going to play a guy named Juan Borrada, who was Portuguese. And Juan was a net player, had a great overhead smash. The day of the match, Lacoste went out on the court and spent an entire hour simply hitting lobs from the back of the court, until he could almost hit the back line every time.
Yeah.
Barada came out, kept charging the net, had to keep running back and forth, and by the fifth set, he was so exhausted, Lacoste killed him.
Interesting.
And Lacoste didn't usually have to do this, because usually he could pass people.
Yeah.
So that's another example of finding your creative edge.
I love that.
And keeping yourself growing and learning.
Yeah, it's good.
Very, very good.
So when we, Brian and I have talked in the last few podcasts occasionally about how we like to see salespeople reposition themselves as experts, as resources. And so instead of just me going out representing my firm, I may go out and give a talk or a speech or write an article or do something that signifies, demonstrates what I know about a topic. But that seems to me like it could run into that comfort zone issue, because if I don't see myself as an expert, no amount of anybody telling me that I need to go do a speech is going to help me get there. So what are some tips, maybe? You talk about finding the creative edge. How does one do that? Is that a passion play? Is that passion play? Got it?
Back in
the old Shakespeare days?
Yeah.
Is that a thing that I just have to find my passion, and that will lead me to the creative edge?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think it will. I think, how shall I say this? Whoever you are, life is presenting you right now with some challenges that either you're learning about or you're not learning about. And the challenges that you're going to respond to are the ones that you care about.
Yeah.
So that's going to locate your passion, whether it's about how you're raising your children or how you're loving your spouse or how you're doing your job. It doesn't matter. So if you're alive to what's really happening in your life and where you need to learn, you can locate your passion right there. So I ask people, you know, like, where do you feel alive? Because if you're feeling dead, then, you know, you're not going to be successful here. So let's locate where you're feeling alive and where you have interest and where you need, also where you need to learn as well in that same place, right?
So we get all the clues we need just in life. Yeah. We just have to pay more attention to those. And if I'm frustrated and angry at something, I probably feel alive there. It doesn't just mean joyful alive. It can mean pissed off alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if I can't get to call on the CEO, in the last 2 years I've not been in front of a CEO and I'm losing sales because of it, that's a challenge that I can bring my creative edge to.
Yes. You know, that's a very interesting thing. We just did our kind of a day-long retreat here for our firm. And we've talked a lot about this, because we do this for a living, I think we're very aware of that. However, I'm sure we could coach or ask feedback from others. Body language changes, doesn't it? Everything changes. Voice inflection, energy changes when all of a sudden the subject matter turns to something you're alive about. Mm-hmm. And it drops the other way. It'd be an interesting, very tactical thing to ask people, friends, peers, your parents, your son, daughter, wife, husband. Can you start to pay attention to me and notice when I light up about something and what that is to get that feedback if I'm looking for
that? Yeah, because we can hear it in others, but we can't always hear it in ourselves.
Exactly. Really exactly. That's very, very good.
Good.
Excellent. Very good.
Love well, that. Terry, thanks for coming in today. This has been very helpful and deep. And, boy, the time goes quickly, so we need to do this again.
Maybe no doubt.
Try to do this once a quarter or something. I'm not going to ask you to commit here on camera. But would you?
Exactly.
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm sure could.
But no, this has been very helpful, and you've given us some things to think about, and I love that idea of where do you feel alive and what's challenging and what arouses your emotion, and somewhere in there is an opportunity for growth.
That's great stuff.
That's really
great
good.
Stuff.
Yeah. You can contact us at listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com. Go to our Facebook page. Should we send them to the Facebook page, Caskey1?
Let's do it.
Go to Caskey1 Facebook page. And make sure you sign up. There's a couple of freebies there, too.
Yeah, we also got a LinkedIn group now. Go to LinkedIn, link up with me or Bill, and also join our LinkedIn group.
Mm-hmm. And go to caskey1.com, CaskeyOne, and look up Whiteboard Wednesday. Our friend Brooke Green, our colleague, our teammate, does a lot of Whiteboard Wednesdays there, and she's really, really good. And she's really cute, too.
I was going to say it, but you beat me to it.
And she's very thin. Always.
Okay,
see you next
thinner.
Time.
Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to BillCaskey.com or to iTunes.